Rightio, racing at heart in sunny Ballarat. The sun actually is out. Catching up with Maria Eriksson. Firstly, is that actually how you say your name? Or like, has it been Australianised that way?
Well, it's a bit, Australianised. It's Marika, but we pronounce everything different in Sweden, so, but yeah.
So you're from Sweden. You just alluded to that part. And I think you're a great story of what racing is. I think a lot of us lose sight of actually what racing is and the enjoyment of it. And I think sometimes we need to be, I suppose, reminded, if you like, of what it's actually about. You're basically a professional groom now over here. You do some driving, but right at the minute the driving's been put well and truly on hold.
Yeah, it has. I just, I do, so not a lot of driving, but I do a lot of driving at home.
Yep.
I train them and that, but no races at the moment.
So how did the journey start for you, not even here in Australia? How did you actually get involved in horses? Are you from a horse family?
Yeah, so when my mum met my stepdad, but I call him my dad, he's been with the family since ever. So he did a little bit of horse racing. So he was I think he had one horse or something. And they started dating, and mum picked up on the racing, sort of, because she was only like a riding teacher. She only did like the riding part. And then, they started getting a few race horses. And then we came along and we got some ponies, started doing the ponies, and yeah.
How old were you at that stage?
I was pretty old. We got them pretty late. I think I was like 13 when I got my first pony. And you can start at 8 in Sweden, so.
Pretty old, but you're not actually that old. You're still a child.
Yeah.
The ponies over there are different to the ponies here, aren't they? In a way, I mean, they're as competitive here as what they are over in Sweden, but there are some people that's all they do.
That's right. Like, we've got proper race ponies over there. They're quick.
Yeah.
I had a pretty slow one. I think I was a bad trainer because my sister got him when I finished doing the ponies, and she ended up winning a few races. Well, I did not win a race.
How did that make you feel?
Pretty useless.
I don't think you're useless. How long did you stay with the ponies for? How long did you stay down that path?
Only till I was 16 or 17, I think. And then the school I went to, so we only do year 9, like it's mandatory to do year 9. And then the last 3 years, you can sort of apply for different schools. So if you're in like harness racing, you can apply for a harness racing school. Or if you're in like carpentering, you can do a carpentering school for 3 years. So that means you do normal studies, and then you also do the carpenter or the horses. And when you finish school, you're supposed to like sort of go out to do work straight away. So it's a pretty good thing. So I was in school, I moved up there when I was 16, so I did them for one or two more years. And then you, with the school, they give you sort of the driving license to drive in races. So as soon as I finished the license for the big horses, I stopped the ponies.
Righto. I love taking people backwards, but I don't like stopping people either. So effectively, you get to year 9, you do normal schoolwork, and then one of your electives, like what a lot of Australians would be, where you get to choose, over here we get to choose 4 or 5 electives, if you like, I think, because my daughter's actually at that same stage now.
Okay.
Where you got to choose to go to an actual school that was devoted to one, teaching you, still teaching you and guiding you through with maths and science and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But also teaching you harness racing, the school. And from what you said there, you attended that school, so you actually went and stayed at that school?
Yeah, I did. It's the biggest one in Sweden. There's a few ones, but this was the biggest one. And
so when you say the biggest, how many people?
I don't really know. They had heaps of different classes.
100,000?
Hundreds of people all together studying and living at that place. Pretty rural out in the woods.
And you said it was one of how many others?
I don't really know, but there was maybe 10, different schools around Sweden that might do the same, but not maybe not as professional at that school, because that was like just a like a proper school.
And I dropped out of school very young. People might find that hard to believe, but you have to. I think it's you have to get a certain grade or a certain point to get become a doctor. You can't just say you want to. Is it like that in to get into the harness? Like if you have to have higher marks to get to that better school, or how did you get chosen to go to that better school?
Yeah, so you sort of. I think it's the last maybe year 8 and 9. You sort of get points for all your grades and that, and then with those points you can apply for schools. For those other schools, yeah.
So the higher your points, the better chance you've got to get into a better school.
Exactly. So I remember I was studying so hard, and I was like, I didn't really have a life. I was just living at home, and I had pretty easy. School was pretty easy, so I get good grades, and then I really want to go to that trotting school. So I did my best, and then I applied. And I had, I think, one of the highest ones that year. And it just ended up, I think I had almost 300 points, which is like, it's a lot. I think the highest you can have is like 320. And people with 30 points got into school in my class. So it was like a bad year. So people, I didn't really had to do it, but it just felt good.
It felt good to get that anyway.
Yeah.
Is it very competitive? Like, obviously, your year may not have been, but is it competitive for kids to try and get into those schools?
I think it was, but then when I started and a bit after, like, it's just been less and less. I think sort of every different sort of work thing.
Occupation.
Yeah, it's getting a bit like a struggle.
Yeah.
Because people just want to do big influencers and lawyers and stuff like that, pretty much earning good money.
that's a little bit sad, but at the same time, the fact that you have 10 schools, I mean, I don't know if they have any in New South Wales. I know of 2 schools here in Victoria.
Oh yeah.
So the whole of Australia, you know, may have 5 or 6. Yet Sweden is a tiny country, and it had 10 at least. Like, so
yeah,
that's it's pretty amazing. So when you go through the school, what do they teach you? Like, they teach you everything, like, or yep, she's nodding, she's not giving a lot of
pretty much that. Everything, like, you do the exterior of the horse, the all the behaviors. I remember one day we had like a behavior, like just learning behaviors. We were just sitting outside watching horses in the paddocks, just because you're gonna learn, like, do they eat, how many, I think it was how many hours a day do they eat, how many hours a day do they drink, how many, like, just to learn that, like, how much. And I remember one horse got sick once, and it was like a yearly thing, just to teach the kids. And it was also like people that wanted to get deeper into the horse, like, how do you say, like, they can be more, work higher up, like,
yep,
more important stuff. They were going to the school, they also had like a 2 or 3 year study, and we they put one horse down, and we just ended up just cutting everything apart, putting up on a table, like, all the...
The autopsy.
Yeah.
And just dissecting it all.
Yeah. And it was just like, that was one class. So you start from the bottom with the ponies, you learn how to handle them, and then you just go further up and you deeper and deeper in. And yeah, we were doing a little bit of ferrying, like, we were shooing just dead legs. They just bought the legs from...
abattoirs or wherever, yeah.
And we were just starting on, like, shoeing them, taking shoes off, putting shoes on, and yeah.
It's amazing. So at the end of the school, I mean, you became a harness racing driver, I'm presuming, but you'll get to that in a bit. You, by the sounds, you could have progressively gone further to become a vet or a scientist or a nutritionist or something along those, along your chosen field, if you wanted to.
Yeah, I probably had to do a bit more studying, but yeah.
You got 300.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot better than 30. I know that. I don't know how it works. So when you did graduate, what were you? Like, were you a driver or were you a groom, or what did you actually graduate as?
Both. I was driving. I was driving races.
While you're at school?
While I was at school. I drove a few for the school because we also had a few race horses. So the last year you were... So the first year you did the ponies, you did some pony racing. The second year you looked after the race horses, and also getting your license to drive or ride the Monties. in the third year you did the driving and you also broke horses in. So you did this like the whole basic thing. Yeah, the whole lot. And also during these 3 years we had working experience around pretty much the world. a few weeks every year.
And you like obviously went all around Sweden, but then obviously other parts of Europe as well, and then eventually here in Australia.
Yeah, I was lucky. I started it was 2 weeks the first year, and you just did those 2 years, and then I ended up getting a job over summer for that trainer. And then the second year I did 2 weeks of different trainers because you couldn't go back to the same ones. You always had to pick new ones, and ended up getting summer work at one of the other trainers, which I also ended up working at. It was just like all these connections you got. And then the third year, the last year I ended up going to a cold blood trainer up north. I stayed there for 2 weeks. Then the old trainer I had the working experience years before asked me to go to Italy to gear some horses out for the Derby. Ended up flying over to Italy. And then the last time I had a working experience, I ended up in America. So, yeah.
I'm going to get back to Italy because I believe one of those horses was a superstar that you did get to look after. You alluded to earlier Monty riding. Did you ride in a Monty at all?
Yeah, I did. I think I did 40 Monty rides before 40? I got here, yeah.
Any wins?
No.
You don't have much. Pony trots and Monty's no good.
No good.
We'll put a line through Marika with those. Your race... driving, though, you did drive winners while you were over there. How many winners did you get?
I think I got around 20. I was actually extremely lucky and I won my first two races ever.
So you can't win a pony trot, you can't win a Monty, and the first time you line up for professional races, you win them both.
Yeah, won them both, and then it took me 3 years to win another one.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah, it took a long time after my second win.
How come? Do you know why?
Probably just very, very lucky in the beginning. I didn't know what I did, what to do. I was just out there blind. But then just bad horses, and I didn't drive a lot either. So
how is it, like we hear about the elite lop and everything and everyone says, oh, you've got to go to it. But Sweden, harness racing, people are held a lot differently in there. How was it winning that first race? Like, was it a different feeling, like a strange feeling?
It was very strange. I remember just being like, well, this wasn't very hard.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was a cold November day, I think, in my hometown, or my home track where I...
What track was that?
It's called Östersund. So it's like five hours north of Stockholm.
Yeah.
So it's the cold part. And I just like... this wasn't very hard. I can't believe people complaining.
And when was your second drive? How far apart was it between your first and second drive?
It was like maybe a month.
All right.
3 weeks or something. And yeah, I ended up winning that one too. From like fourth on the pegs, got out and got around. Ended up being a dead heat, like a dead race, but still won.
You're dead heated. Yeah. You've had everything. You've had the whole gamut of stuff.
Yeah.
Did you want to be a driver? Was that your goal?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, I didn't really have a goal, but I liked it when I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also strapping and working for stables, and you enjoy looking after horses that much, I definitely know. You do fall in love with horses very easily.
Yeah, I do.
So when you were asked to go to Italy, and you said then, I can't remember how you actually said it, you didn't say gear up, but you said something along those lines.
Just to gear out.
Gear out. That's what that was. Which is a little bit different. Yeah. But basically, so they wanted you to go there and just look after them. Is that what that means, gear out?
Yeah, so it was just, I think it was two or three girls over there with maybe four or five horses. And they just needed an extra hand. And I think they were sort of, everyone else was busy. And they were just like, oh, we'll take a chance. Ask if this girl can come. 18-year-old. Still in school. I said, oh yeah, no, I can come. So it was, I think it was 5 days maybe down in Italy.
Yep.
Yeah, and won the Oaks, and we had a few really good ones over there.
One was very good, wasn't it? One was
one called Joke Face. Yeah, he was. He ended up being really, really good, and he was. I think the trainer called Lutfi Kolgjini. He was planning on him being like a good stallion, but he ended up getting colic and died. A few years ago. Yeah, so he only had like not a lot of foals on the ground, but he got a few.
So within, I think you said you were about 13. So within 5 years, you ended up in Italy strapping like these lovely. Did you actually sort of sit, you've driven winners by that stage as well, or not?
I can't remember, to be honest.
But around that time?
Yeah.
Did you ever sit back and say, well, this is pretty cool?
I do now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think about it now.
Because a lot of us here in Australia, I mean, we just get so tunnel vision about working and driving horses and then wanting to win a race. And then if you win a race, you want to win the next one. And, and if you're working in a stable, you win a race, you still just want to get the next one. We don't sort of sit back and have a look around. Yet in 5 years, you've probably been able to experience more than what a lot of kids here in Australia have. And that's only part of your life. Before we go too far, if it's not a rude question, how old are you now?
27.
So we're talking 14 years, what this whole podcast is gonna cover off. So you got back from Italy. Did you stay with that stable or you went back to the school? You actually had to go back to the school, I would imagine.
I think I went back to school. I did back to school and back in the school bench.
And then graduated. Did you go to America while you were still at school or did you
still at school, yeah.
And how long was that for?
4 weeks or a month. Yep. I went to Florida to Vero Beach and helped a Swedish trainer, I think, for 3 weeks and then another Swedish trainer for a week. Yep. They were at the same sort of training
facility. Was that organized through the school for you to go there or did you have to organize it yourself?
I organized it. Yep. It was the school paid and everything, like they stood for all the money.
The school paid for it?
Yeah, the school paid for it.
I hate you. I mean, I don't.
All this working experience, they paid for it all.
Wow.
So it was only for us to get a ticket.
And when you go over there, they looked after you, the Swedish trainers and that, they pretty much look after you as well?
Yeah. You had money to be able to pay for food and if you needed like a place to stay, of course, but yeah.
So where did they race in Florida? Where were you?
Pompano Park.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We didn't race then. It was actually that trainer only had a lot of 2-year-olds, and there was one racing in the Peter Horton Memorial. I think it was, I left in December, January, and he raced in later that year. Like just a few months later, he ended up winning it all. And it's pretty cool to think about, like thinking back, like I actually drove that horse for a month and then it ended up winning a massive race.
And he didn't race much while you were there?
Yeah, no, he didn't race at all. We just worked him up.
And that was, I would imagine, predominantly a trotting stable?
Yeah, yeah.
So I gather after that you went back to Sweden?
Back to Sweden, finished up school and ended up graduating with... Then I went home to mum and dad for a week and then I moved about 10 or 11 hours south and got a job.
At?
It's just a tiny, tiny trainer. He just started a few months before so I was his first employee. I stayed there for about 4 months. It didn't really work out, we were too different. And then I got another job and stayed there for about 10 months. And thought that I'm not going to find a job where I can stay for a long time. Like, it just felt hopeless. I just like, oh, well, I'm not good at this. I can't stay. And decided...
That was just you yourself, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was just me myself. And then I decided, I'm going to move back home to mum and dad. And I was already all the way south in Sweden. Like, I was in sort of at the bottom. And it was 12 hours drive back home. And I quit my job and was about to leave. And... a big trainer down there called me up the day before I was going to leave and said, oh, I just heard a rumor that you don't have a job. I said, yeah, no, that's right. I'm leaving tomorrow. So I just got a question. One of our girls here, she broke a leg yesterday and we're just really short staffed. Would it be a possibility you can just help us for a few days? I was, yeah, sure. Like, I don't have a plan. I can stay. and I ended up staying 4 years.
4 years?
4 years.
Who was the trainer?
Joachim Löfgren. He, I think he won the Elite Lop a few years before I started working there.
Well, how many horses? Like, was it a big barn?
I think we had around 80, 100 there at the most.
Oh!
Yeah, at one point.
And you loved it?
I did.
So all of a sudden the Gypsy Marika was settled and quite comfortable?
No, that was right.
And were you just a groom? Did you ever race drive for him at all?
I did.
Yep.
I did. I think I ended up winning my first 3 drives I had for him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I think my luck turned and it was a good time. That same year I started there, I also ended up like the rising star of the track. So they have like an awards night for every track. And it was every sort of, is it called like a category?
Yep.
Had like 3 or 4 horses that were nominated, or 3 or 4 drivers that were nominated. And then this award didn't have any nominees. So it was like just out of the blue sort of thing.
And you're just sitting there enjoying tea?
Yeah, people's like, oh, you're going to go to the awards night? I said, no, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yeah, you should go. Yeah, all right.
So other people knew, but you didn't.
Yeah, so I went there and then, yeah, my name was on the big screen and I ended up going up on the seat, like on the stage. And, yeah.
So did you get that because you were working for that guy or before what you were doing beforehand?
No, while I was working for him and the drives I won and stuff like that.
That must be huge because it's huge in Australia if that sort of happens. But again, back to your school days, like you've got hundreds of kids there learning harness racing and then all of a sudden your name's up in lights.
Yeah.
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 You're sitting back there right now thinking about it and you're probably thinking, yeah, it probably was a bit bigger than what I gave it credit for at the time.
Yeah, no, it's at the time it was like, oh, well, this is cool. And yeah, you don't really think of it.
So why'd you leave?
I worked there for 4 years and I just got a little bit sick of it. It was long days, a lot of traveling. I did a lot of traveling with, I was lucky, had really, really good horses. But yeah, the traveling, the late nights and the early mornings just got a bit of, killed me a little bit. So I ended up moving back sort of to Stockholm. It's still only like 7 hours south of from where I worked, but a little bit closer to home. And yeah, just stay there for a few more years.
And you stayed in harness racing or did
Yeah. Yeah. I just worked for trainers. So I drove a few winners and stuff like that. And then just a lot of bad stuff happened and I just needed a restart. And that's when I decided to move to Australia.
So why did you move?
I actually got, so when I was working down in south for Joachim, I looked after a really good horse. That's the one I was traveling with to France and Europe and everywhere. And
what was his name before you go too far?
Alpha Da Vinci. Yeah. Really, really pretty chestnut with a big white blaze.
Yeah.
And his own breeders, the one that bred him, they was really happy with the with all the work I did in that. So after I've moved up to Stockholm, they contacted me and said, like, we got a filly, she's just turning 2 and we can't sell her, would there be any possibility that you can take her? So I ended up taking her, broke her in, started training her, and I got her to sort of the runarounds. So I did that, and then I broke up with my ex, moved and to another trainer in Stockholm too, and 3 days after I moved there, she hurt herself in the paddock, so I had to put her down. And it was just the tip of the iceberg, and I just like,
needed a change.
Yeah, I just needed to get out of there.
So how'd you come to Australia? Was it just one of those things, or did someone suggest you could move to Australia?
No, my sister got a working experience here. She did the same school, she did everything the same as I did. Instead of going to America, she went to Australia. And I didn't really I went to America and I was like, oh, well, I've done this. I didn't really feel like I wanted to go back. So I was like, oh, maybe Australia would be nice. She said it was nice. Yeah. She helped me get in contact with a guy here and then I just ended up getting a job.
So am I right? You started with Maddie Craven when you came
in? Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So you started there. Was your sister working for Maddie as well or not?
No. She actually did work and experience at David Akins and Jodie Quinlan.
Okay. Mm. What's her name? Your sister?
Isabel.
Isabel. I don't know her, but that's okay. Other people will be saying, yes, you do, but I may not. What was your intentions? Like, you're, as I said, you're Marika the Gypsy. Like, was your intentions just to come here for a few months, or did you have any plans at all?
I had none. No plans. I said to myself, and I definitely said to Mum, I come home as soon as I feel like I don't want to do it anymore. And I'm still here.
So when was that? How long ago?
Oh, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're very happy?
Yeah.
So you worked for Maddie for a while. You went to Akies, yeah. David Akins. And I would imagine, you know, apart from where we are now, you got a couple of your best thrills with Akey, with a lovely horse, Big Jack Hammer, and the likes. Just being able to travel with him. Some of the pictures I've seen with you traveling, it's interesting listening to you when your first sort of big break, you went to Italy for 5 days or whatever it was, looking after horses, and it's sort of almost like that's what you're here to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I do like the traveling. I do like it. It's
and being able to slow down and just look after a horse. And
yeah, I don't think there's anything that can beat that. Just going away with a horse that you like and you sort of know everything about, and then just go somewhere and just look after each other sort of thing, and then you race and
and spend that bit of quality time.
Yeah.
One of the great stats I found out about you, because I was trackside, I'm pretty sure it was at Bendigo. It was either Bendigo or Kilmore anyway, when you drove your first winner. I know I interviewed you after your first winner, and I know we posted it on social media, and you have this huge following in Sweden of friends and everything, because they were so proud of you. And it was on a pacer, which is one of those quite funny little stats that you have up until just recently.
Yeah.
You won pacing races for a period of time.
Yeah.
And most of the people in Sweden wouldn't have a clue what a pacer is. And if they're listening to this, they'd be thinking, what is a pacer? But it's one that wears hobbles for you guys. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a strange stat, wasn't it? You won half a dozen or more races on pacers?
Yeah, I think it was 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was different. I remember first time driving one at home. It at Maddie's, like, it was, because in Sweden we don't have the hobbles, and you've seen this, the races over in America, and like, oh, they fall, if they gallop, they fall, and if they stumble, they fall. So sitting there driving one, I was terrified. I was holding the rein so hard, I couldn't really, like, let go, and people like, let go, come on, ride quick. I said, I don't want to, it just goes too quick. But then you just sort of learn to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have a drive for Maddie, or was your first drive for Ake?
No, he actually put me on a few trotters. So the first pacer was at Ake's.
At Ake's.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy driving them now? I mean, right here, we're at Yabby Dam Farms as we speak. I don't think you'd be driving too many pacers here, but do you enjoy driving the pacers now?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
What's the best one you got put on? Did Ake put you on any of the good ones?
I can't really remember. I drove. I can't actually remember.
No.
Not super good ones. I drove the ones that Kima didn't drive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Should be picky about that.
No, but I got a few. Like, they were okay ones. They won a few races here and there. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no race drives. Don't stress. It's all good as a big tractor goes past. You've left David Akins now, and we're here with Anton and Jack McKinnon. We better mention Jack. You're basically here at Yabby Dam Farms as a groom. And I would imagine it's a very different environment, maybe a little bit more like what you used to back home. I'm not sure, because I've never been home for a start. But back with all the trotters, do you enjoy this part of it?
Yeah, I do. I feel more like I know what I'm doing. Like, I can... It's easier because you've done this. I've done this my whole time, like, in life. I know a bit more. I can see if a horse is lame. When they have the hobbles on, I can't really tell as much.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just these small things.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, racing at heart is, you know, it's one of my things I designed just to, one, expose people, I suppose, that mainstream media don't like talking about and all the rest. But sort of about your journey. What are some of the good parts that you found, like, with Australia compared to other, like, the other countries you've been to? And you've been to quite a few different countries. And probably what are the bad parts, or what are the parts that frustrate you a little bit, if you like? Like, is there parts that really frustrate you, or you just accept it and take it?
It's a hard question. I don't really... I just sort of take it. Like, it's... You have your industry for so long. That's what you do. And then you go to another country, and that's how they do. Like, you can't really... I don't feel like I can judge too much. It's sort of just go in there, and you're just like, okay, well, this is what we do here. Let's do that. And like, staying to the rules, that's sort of what you do.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Do you enjoy Australia?
I do.
Do you enjoy the warm weather when you get it?
What warm weather? Yeah, well, when it's warm, it's nice.
You've had a few extremes, because Terang doesn't get very warm at all.
No.
Avonall gets extremely warm. Yeah. And then back here to Ballarat, which gets a bit of both.
Yeah.
It's got a fair combination. There is one thing at the end I do want to get to, but what is next for you? Are you likely to stay in Australia for a period of time? I don't want to make Pat nervous or think you're leaving or anything else like that, but I think anyone would know staff don't stay forever. But have you got a goal or where you want to go to, or you're just going to see what happens? The Gypsy and you're going to see what happens?
Yeah, I actually don't have a goal at all at the moment. It's always been, since I did the move, that I'm going to take one day at a time. It's just do what I like, do what I enjoy. And as soon as I feel like, okay, I'm done, I might think about doing something else or go home. It's, I don't really have a plan. I'm a bit free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a good way of being.
Yeah, sometimes.
COVID has changed a lot of things, and we're 3 days out from Christmas, 2 days out from Christmas, and the likes. And I spoke to you somewhere, and you're saying that you can't get back to see your parents. You try to get back, or they try to come. Your mum was going to come out, I think, or someone was going to come out. No,
My sister was done in March this year, so yeah. I saw her. I was supposed to go home this year for Christmas, but it's not going to happen, and no one is going to come down. So it's a tough time. Like, Christmas always been like a family gathering. Like, we don't have a big family. It's only my sister, my mum and dad.
It's still family.
It's still family. So the first year I was struggling real, real hard just going away. And last year was sort of like, okay, I've done this one time, I can do it again. And then I've been looking forward to going home this time.
I was going to say, that'd be the hardest part, that you were actually gearing yourself up to to going.
And then a few weeks ago, I was really, really struggling, but sort of just, I can't do anything about it now. And hopefully next year.
People, I'm going to hopefully put this out tomorrow, before Christmas, because I think people want to have a listen to it. So hopefully people will be aware of it too. When they listen, they'll be going, don't feel sorry for her, but just make sure that we're aware that she is. A hell of a long... How far away from home are you? Do you know how many miles it is or something? It'd be a long way anyway. It'd be a couple of day or a day trip, I'm tipping.
I think it's around 23, 24 hours just straight on a plane.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's sort of just halfway across the country, the world.
Do you recommend people doing what you're doing? Like, have you enjoyed your journey so far? It's nowhere near finished, but do you recommend... Like, if you're made of the right stuff, do you think you should look around?
Like, I always encourage people to travel, to do what they dreamed of. Like, my dream has always been working in another country, to, like, work in Australia. It's been my dream for, I don't know how many years, but a lot of years. And to actually be able to live your dream instead of just dream it. Like, it's just, it's just amazing.
It is amazing.
Mm.
Which is really, really good. The other thing that I do want to highlight, I'm fortunate enough to be friends with you on Facebook, and your singing, and I think you've got, it's breathtaking, your voice, and with your permission, I'm going to actually play a song of yours at the end of it, which I don't have right now, so you won't have to listen to it, so it's fine, but I'll pinch it. But where did all that come from, your singing? Because... to me, it looks strange when anyone that watches you're singing behind a closed door, you're sort of in a little closed room. It's sort of half like you're embarrassed by it, but it's enchanting, your voice. It's just, I love it. It's one of those things I really enjoy. Is there somewhere where it come from, or is it just something that you've just developed?
First of all, thank you. And no, it's started, like, I think it was in year 8 or 9, we had a bit of a choir in school. So I was in school choir. I did a bit of that, but it wasn't like a big thing. And then at the trotting school, I was fortunate to have a roommate, and the house we lived in was just rooms with double beds, like double. So people lived two and two in there. And the girls next door to us, they were like, had guitars, and they were very musical. So we just ended up sitting there playing along. They taught me how to play the guitar. And then, yeah, from that's where it sort of started. And then I think I was like 21, maybe. I was like, oh, I'm going to get myself a guitar. And then, yeah, started playing, just sort of taught myself.
And you have, don't take this the wrong way, you definitely have an accent when you talk. But when you sing, you don't. Have you ever noticed that? Like, it's either, it's just part of your voice or whatever, but it just disappears. Is there a goal going forward with the singing?
Oh, I have, some days I have dreams. Some days I'm very happy where I am.
Yeah.
But it's, I know, like, I need to practice more, like, more, a lot, just to some, like, when I do a video, when I record myself, I think I do, like, maybe 10 recordings.
No, don't say that. Just say you just
do it live. And then I ended up maybe pick, like, I really, really try to get the best ones. And, yeah, they normally turn out okay.
you're only recording that off your iPhone as well.
Yeah.
So it's just sitting down. That's one of the great parts about it. Oh, it's one of those ones that always fascinated me, because where you set yourself up, it's like you locked yourself away. Having been here now, I know where you live. I understand why it looks like that, but it looks like you locked yourself away and you're sort of half, I suppose, a closet singer, if you like, but you're not actually. It's just you're practicing and trying to get it out there.
Yeah, and I'm a bit shy. Like, I'm normally a very shy person. I've worked on it a lot. So when I start talking, I normally talk, because if I stop, I get shy again. But especially the singing, it's such a fragile, like, it's so personal. And if, I'm just scared that people will say something bad about it and then they stop. So that's why I'm a bit, like, hide away. But at the same time, I do get a lot of people say it's good. And then I put one out then, and I put a video out, and then I just turn the phone down, and then I just don't want to watch it.
Serious?
Yeah.
That's true. It's funny. I was shy when I was a kid. People will laugh at that, but yeah, I was always shy as well. It's a weird one. The word you use there is actually one of the great words for your singing, fragile, and I mean it as a compliment, because it is just so delicate the way some of the things that come out. I really actually enjoy it. You said, thank you. Don't rap me, because my daughter will tell you I'm tone deaf and can't sing to save myself. So it's one of those things. Marika, I appreciate the time. I hope I've covered off on everything. I hope Pat's not sitting there listening to this and getting nervous, thinking, oh, she's going to leave. Pat, she's shaking her head. She's not going anywhere the short term. No. And there is, I love your story. I love getting the story out there. And I want people to be aware of there's so many other options in there. Harness racing is a great industry, but it's a worldwide industry.
Yeah.
Unlike the gallopers, we can go to countries like Norway and Sweden and experience something very different. So, yeah. Marika, thank you very much for your time. I've really appreciated it. Aided it, and Merry Christmas too.
Merry Christmas.
You find someone new before me, and you didn't try nearly as hard. And maybe that's the problem. I don't know how to take it away from you without giving someone else my heart. All I do, over you, and I'm still so bad at it. I let myself want you, I let myself try, I let myself fall back into your eyes. I let myself want you, I let myself hope, I let myself feel things I know that you don't. not mine anymore, but I'm still a little bit yours. Maybe if I said the right thing, it never would have gone this way. And maybe that's the problem, cause I still kinda think it was up to me when I never could have made you stay. All I do is get over you, and I'm still so bad at it. I let myself want you, I let myself try, I let myself fall back into your eyes. I let myself want you, I let myself hope, I let myself feel things I know that you don't. You're not mine anymore, I'm still a little bit yours. You're not mine anymore, but I'm still a little bit yours. All I do is get over you, and I'm still so bad at it. We outgrew the love we knew, but I still wish I had it. I let myself want you, I let myself try, I let myself fall back into your eyes. I let myself want you, I let myself hope, I let myself feel things I know that you don't. You're not mine anymore, but I'm still a little bit yours. You're not mine anymore.